From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made at a bar in a downtown Rochester restaurant where WXXI's arts and life editor, Jeff Spivak, was having a rare drink. He's like, okay, just once in a while goes out for a drink. It was early March 2020, and Jeff noticed that every time a patron left, the bartender would energetically spray the counter with disinfectant. And Spivak says this was his first real sense of the pandemic. As he writes in a recent piece for City Magazine, quote, throughout the past 15 months or so, some entertainment venues continued to operate with varying degrees of acknowledgement as to what was happening in this country, end quote. Over the ensuing months, there were virtual shows, hybrid events, and socially distanced outdoor performances. And now, in July, the surge in summer events has caught Jeff by surprise. He writes that life is returning to the scene, mainly in the form of smaller, less complex outdoor shows. Will that trend continue? According to the Finger Lakes Regional Vaccine Hub, more than 69% of the local population 12 years and older has at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. But there has been a surge in COVID cases as a result of unvaccinated people being diagnosed with the virus and due to the much more transmissible Delta variant. The Monroe County Health Department reports that the COVID positivity rate for the week ending July 25th is 2%. The last time it reached such a high was a couple of months ago. So what's next? The show must go on, as they say. But will it? This hour, we discuss this summer's live music and performance scene, which includes new shows, events postponed from last year, hybrid performances, virtual events, festival planning, and more. And we also discuss how venues are handling pandemic safety measures during a week in which Dr. Anthony Fauci says even he is frustrated with where we are going in this country with the pandemic. I'd like to welcome our guests now, who include the man responsible for this hour. That's Jeff Spivak, arts and life editor for WXXI News.
Thanks, Evan.
Welcome. Nice to have you back here. With us in studio, John Parkhurst, the COO for the Rochester Broadway Theater League. John, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Erica Fee, producer for the KeyBank Rochester Fringe Festival. Erica, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
On the line with us is the owner of Abilene Bar and Lounge, Danny Deutsch. Danny is with us by phone. Hi, Danny. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, Evan. Thank you.
And Steve Edelman is vice president of the Event Safety Alliance at Edelman Law Group. Steve, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What is the Event Safety Alliance, Steve?
The Event Safety Alliance is a nonprofit international trade association whose focus is life safety at live events. So keeping people healthy and safe when they go out to play, when they see a show or some kind of sporting event. So we've been very actively involved in trying to help event organizers like the other good folks on this conversation to figure out what is the right thing to do at the particular moment we're having the conversation for their particular demographic.
Yeah, man. I mean, like,
if you wait too long, it's going to change.
Yeah. I mean, like, if we talked to you in, like, April or even, like, early June, it would sort of be irrelevant already. So, or not irrelevant, but boy, a lot changes quickly. And that's unfortunately with what we are seeing in this country right now. So, Jeff Spivak, when you write in your piece that the sudden blossoming of events this summer caught you by surprise, why were you surprised?
Because I wasn't sure of what the standards would be, what we'd be looking at, what yardstick we would use, that venues would use to book shows. And I don't think venues were sure either. So there's been a lot of confusion, a lot of changes over the course of, 15 months. What are we talking about here? You know, we've gone from, you know, wiping off our desks and social distancing to, I was at a couple shows this past weekend and without thinking about it. And you just don't get the feeling that there's been a consistent policy followed by either small venues or large ones.
You were at shows indoors, outdoors?
Outdoors, both of them. One small show at Abilene Bar and Lounge and one at CMAC.
Mm-hmm. And, I was in Geneva a couple weekends ago. Was it last weekend? What is time anyway? I think it was a week ago. 2 weekends ago. Boy, oh boy. And Daniel Ponder was going to play a show on the street, but it was pouring rain. So they put her in the Smith Opera House. And by the way, it's a great venue. And blew the doors off the place. But there were actual doors. That's just an expression. And there was a roof. And it was an indoor show. And the vaccinated crowd loved it. But in a moment, Jeff, you might have thought, if you had just dropped in, sort of parachuted in, you might have not known there was ever a pandemic. And I'm not criticizing. I mean, I'm there myself, you know, so I'm just observing that we're in a weird sort of cultural moment right now.
Well, I was at the Brandi Carlile show at CMAC on Saturday, and near the end of the show, everybody is singing along with her. And I'm sitting there thinking, 10 months ago, we weren't supposed to be doing this. You know, you're potentially spreading the COVID. So I was nervous, and I continued.
Were you singing?
I don't know a lot of Brandi's songs, and I'd rather she do them than me.
Well, so listeners, I am curious to know if you're seeing live music again. I admit I am, and I have been thrilled to have a chance to sort of feel somewhat normal-ish. In fact, an old friend of mine was in Geneseo this past weekend, playing a show. Big open doors, but a bar and a brewery. And I got up on stage and I sang with him, Jeff. Now, it's only because there was nobody else to do it. But, I mean, you're right. In that moment, it might have felt like we were back in a different world here. Are you uncomfortable with it, Jeff?
Because of the, I just don't know. The constantly shifting parameters of this do make me nervous.
Okay, so let's talk about that then. Steve, on the new CDC guidance, mask wearing in schools, public indoor spaces in parts of the country with high transmission rates, CDC is saying, even if you're vaccinated, mask indoors if you're in a high transmission rate area, which I admit it feels like we're all going to be in a high transmission rate area soon, but there are distinctions, of course. How do you think that's going to affect venues and concert attendance?
It's going to be problematic, but my crystal ball is just as cloudy as yours and your listeners. You know, there will be some people who will simply say, well, I'm vaccinated. I do still have my masks. I didn't throw them away. They're stylish, so what the hell? Let's put them back on just to be safe. Unvaccinated people, yeah, they've got some very different choices to make. Whether they're making those choices or not is a separate discussion. But this cannot be good for live event spaces. Any complication, anything that makes us think twice about whether it's safe to go out is not good for this industry.
All right. Well, I want to talk about what we can sort of withstand and what we can't. Because a year ago, John Parkhurst, I remember talking to restaurant owners who maybe are facing somewhat similar challenges if you host a venue or a concert venue. What they told me was, if we have to lock down again, and I'm not sure lockdown is the right word. I kind of agree with Matthew Iglesias. We've never really locked down in this country. We've had restrictions. Mm-hmm. We haven't locked down. But just using that sort of terminology, because people understand, if we had to go back to where we were with essentially very little option to be open, with a lot of social distancing requirements, their concern was we will not survive it again. I don't know if they feel that way a year later, but that's what a lot of people were saying a year ago. Before this program, you told me maybe we can handle parts of change and adaptation, but other parts could be death blows to certain industries. Yeah. What are they?
Well, you know, the mask is certainly doable, you know, and we're changing our policy every month. And, you know, we may not serve concessions. If everybody's wearing a mask, we may say, okay, we're not serving concessions. You know, we don't want to encourage people to take the mask off. If we go to social distancing, that is really the death. We can't operate on social distancing. You know, the auditorium theater is 2,400 seats. If we did 6 feet, I think we're down to like 300 or 400 seats. You know, for our productions, we can't do that. There's some smaller productions that could, but, you know, we certainly could not handle that in our venue.
You lose money.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be back. You know, we went, 18 months on the longest intermission, as I told Jeff, you know, and, you know, it'd be very, very difficult for us to keep everything in place if we did it again.
Now, given where things are going with Delta, as you see them and as you see transmission rates, I mean, 2% in our community is, I was naive 2 months ago. Erica was always ahead of me on this, but I kind of thought we're never going back there. Well, here we are. And the efforts at vaccination have slowed. We've got a lot of sort of entrenched resistance to get us to where we probably need to go to stop some of this. Do you understand it, or do you say to policymakers, we've got to find a way to do this without distancing?
Well, we need to find a way of doing it without distancing, but our problem is we present touring productions. So it's just not what's going on in Rochester. I've got to worry about what's going on across the country. Mm-hmm. And for these tours to mount, it's a big investment. And if they're not behaving in another state and they can't go there, these tours may not mount. So a lot of it's out of our control. We can only do the best we can do with our venue to make it safe and hope everybody else, you know, falls in line. You know, one of the good things that came out of this is we started a coalition of theaters across the state, and we still speak every Friday morning. And just to compare notes and say, okay, how do we get through this together? You know, what are you doing? You know, what's worked, what hasn't worked? And so together we got through this, and we brought all our venues up to what we consider a safe area right now.
So, Steve Edelman, when John is saying we can do masks, we can limit or cut concession sales temporarily, but social distancing is what's going to knock us out. Are you hearing that in a lot of places?
Yes. It's just math. He's obviously right.
And okay. Doesn't sound like there's much remedy there. I don't know, Eric Fee. That just means we have to do better with vaccine. I don't know. I mean, what are we going to do here?
Well, I think you're going to see vaccine mandates. I mean, even overnight, you've seen the federal government is going to be mandating. You've seen other, you know, cities starting to mandate.
We got medical systems that don't.
Yeah, and
does that blow you away?
And yet they mandate for the flu. So hopefully that will be changing.
Okay.
I think that, you know, as a patient, you should also be able to refuse care from someone who is unvaccinated too, because that's another, you know, spreading event. But be that as it may, I think we're going to see that. You know, what we're going to be doing at the fringe is we are going to be checking vaccines on the door. We have planned
that. So it's not an honor system. You're actually going to check.
No, we're going to check, yeah. Which is a nightmare, may I add, but we're going to do it because we feel that we have a duty of care to our performers, to our audience, to our staff, to our volunteers, and we're going to be checking. And that's you know, unless the virus goes poof by September, which we do not expect that to occur, we will be checking vaccines for indoor venues. Right now, we are not checking for anything outdoors.
Can I just ask you on the subject of verifying vaccination? A lot of businesses have signs in the doors that says if you are vaccinated, you need not wear a mask, and you can be inside. And that's an honor system situation. That's not enough for you right now?
I think that the CDC pretty much said yesterday the honor system's not working, and that they didn't have the social scientists in the room when they came up with this honor system to basically say honor systems can fail. So no, we're not going to use an honor system. We are going to actually verify attendees' vaccination status.
How do you feel about social distancing and where that might go?
Well, look, I mean, the social distancing is also inaccurate. 6 feet saves lives, perhaps, maybe. That was perhaps for the wild type variant, which is the first one discovered. That does not affect the Delta variant, which is 1,000 times more transmissible. So 6 feet doesn't do anything. So what we really need is vaccines, probably vaccine mandates, but also increased ventilation and circulation. And unfortunately, we've been building venues in this country for the last 100 years that haven't taken that into account. We haven't been able to throw open the windows or really have any sort of air exchange system that's been adequate to stop respiratory viruses.
Before I turn to Danny for some perspective there, can I just ask John Parker, when you think about ventilation, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, I mean, we've been dealing with this since day one. You know, we put in the MERV 13 filters. And when you have a building, as Erica said, that's over 90 years old, you just don't go down to Lowe's and buy the filters and put them in there. You know, we went through a major renovation of our HVAC system to do this. And it's the fresh air return. You know, there's a certain percentage of fresh air we want to bring in. Then, having been in the business as long as I have, I know that when a performer comes in and I tell them we have these MERV filters, you know, they're still going to want a small purifier in their room. So we purchased additional room purifiers that will be able to move around to keep everybody safe. And, you know, we're in the process. As of today, we were talking about bathroom renovation. You know, we have over 100 and some odd fixtures that we're making all touchless. And again, in a building, you know, some of them have been remodeled, but some of them are 90, the fixtures are 90 years old, and try to find supplies to do that. And as I sit here now, we have a crew, you know, working on that thing. So we've tried to update everything we possibly can with that way.
How is your expected attendance into the future? What does your calendar look like right now?
You know, we're going to open in August with two shows to kind of test everything out. Mm-hmm. And then we open the national tour of Cats in September. And, you know, they're going to be in our building for a month rehearsing and putting the show together. And the funny thing is, when we do the first performance, it's actually 17 months ago to the day that they were supposed to be here.
Wow.
You know, and
what's here in August? What are you doing in August?
August, we're opening up with Britt Floyd, which is a band that we have a great relationship with, and they're coming in first. And then we're doing an old school jam with Genuine, Drew Hill, and Montel Jordan. And that will kind of, you know, get us up and running. And then, you know, we're booking one-nighters, comedy shows, mm-hmm. along with our Broadway, of course.
What are your expectations for attendance? I mean, do you feel like people are ready, and do you feel like you're ready to welcome them?
We're ready to welcome them. You know, we're getting the staff back, the volunteers, you know, the staff. We lost a lot of good people. We're rehiring. Yesterday we did an open house where you can come in, take a look at what seats are available, sort of test drive your seat, and we sold 45 series tickets yesterday. So there's excitement. People want to come back. You know, Cats is a leftover, but then we open up with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Pretty Woman in the fall. And, of course, we end up with Hamilton next year, and people are excited. So we're seeing business.
You said Hamilton. All of a sudden, people are going, I'll risk whatever variant for Hamilton. That's still how that works. Are you a cat person, Jeff Spivak?
No, I'm a dog person. Everybody knows that.
Oh, so you're waiting for dogs to come.
is there a dog show?
Premiering at the Fringe this year. Jeff Spivak and dogs.
Cats is on at RBTL. Dogs is on at the Fringe. Danny Deutsch, how are things going for you at Abilene Bar and Lounge? Kind of give us, our listeners, a picture of what life and business has been like.
Well, it's been good. We were closed from the end of November to the last week of April. We reopened in April, and it was tough. It was, at that point, it was very reduced capacity. You had to be seated, whether it was indoors or out. If you got up to use the restroom, you had to have a mask on. And we decided a few weeks later, when everything opened up 100%, that our place is so small and so tiny in comparison to everyone else that we just really couldn't adequately handle people. We couldn't rely on people to deal with the honor system or 3 foot of social distancing. So on May 26th, I think it was, we went to a policy of requiring proof of vaccination or a recent negative COVID test. The response was great. People came in that hadn't been out in a year and a half, and they were thrilled to show us their vax card. We changed the policy June 11th and said we would no longer accept recent negative COVID tests. That was a little confusing for our door people and for our customers. And since then, it's been just we require proof of vaccination. And that can be either the Vax card or a photo of the card or the Excelsior pass. And I think that people have been thrilled overall. I mean, I think 98% of our customers, those people that have come through our doors, have been thrilled and feel safer knowing that our staff is vaccinated. The other customers that are in Abilene and on our patio have been vaccinated. And all the musicians who play here have been vaccinated. Mm-hmm.
Danny, was there a day or a moment where you sort of looked around and you said, this feels more like it? This feels more like it did before the pandemic.
The first night we opened, the last week of April, we opened with John Aitken. I think the next night or a couple nights later, we had Spring Chickens with Scott and Steve and Connie. And just to see this surge of people that were proudly showing their vaccination card and wanting to show it every time they come here now. And, you know, someone will come through that's been to Abilene, I don't know, 4 out of the last 8 nights, yet still wants to pull out their vaccination card and say, you know, I feel good showing this. No, it's felt great since we reopened.
I loved Scott and Steve and Connie, by the way. And probably Jeff Spivak's seen them more than anybody else.
I never miss a show. I'm always in the front row.
Does that feel more like what you remember, Jeff? I mean, does that feel good to you, or does it still feel a little...
Yeah, a lot of things run through my head when we talk about going out. And I went almost a year seeing virtually nothing.
Yeah, right.
So when I felt comfortable going to a place like Abilene because of Danny's policy of vaccinations or not, I was relieved. I wanted to see these bands, but again, I was always kind of nervous, and I know the performers are. I was at Danny's place on Friday for Greg Townsend playing a solo show, a local guitarist, excellent songwriter. And Greg, at one point, was he also plays with Low Straitjackets, which is a national touring kind of surf band. And he was talking about the band going to Spain to tour. And he expressed reservations about it. He basically said, I kind of hope they cancel that tour. So Greg, very nice guy, but he's nervous. The musicians are nervous. Everybody's is like still waiting, and not only waiting for things, but in the last week we've been getting negative vibes about where we're going with this. Dr. Fauci has been warning us that we're rolling backwards. So, you know, I was sitting there at that Greg's show on Friday thinking about how much longer is this going to last? How much longer is it going to be before they shut the doors on us again? Mm. And then the next night with Brandi Carlile, same thoughts are running through my head. So I'm very worried.
Danny, what about you? I mean, you know, we talked to John about what you can sort of withstand going forward here. What would be too tough to withstand?
Well, it may if the same policies and directives from the state came to fruition, it would be tough to go through it again. Reduced capacities, seated only, mask wearing, that would be tough. I don't know if we'd make it another time through that. Currently, things are good. We've got a full calendar booked. Everyone's on the road. I mean, every agent is getting a hold of us. So I think it's full speed ahead here. One thing that has felt good for us is people come to the door that say, oh, I forgot, I've been vaccinated, but I don't have any proof. I don't have it with me. I don't have a photo of it. And I think over the last 3 weeks, our door people have helped, I would say, 100 to 125 people download the Excelsior app. Mm, mm-hmm. You know, people get ready to walk away. Oh, honey, I don't have my card with me. Have you been vaccinated? Yes, twice. Do you know the date of the last vaccination? Yes. Okay, it'll take about 3 minutes. And so a lot more people are downloading that app, which is, I think, is a good thing.
I'd love to ask everybody on this panel about a couple of things here in this moment. I mean, Jeff's right. The last week especially feel like a little grim. And, you know, nobody wants to certainly shut down, but nobody wants to even roll it back. I mean, Tim writes to say mask mandates will no longer work. Nobody is going to be willing to go back to that. I don't know. I don't know, Tim. I mean, I kind of think you're wrong. I think that's probably where we are going, and I think we're going to have to. And I think we can do it. I believe in us that we can wear a mask. I think we can pull that off. But you know, what part of what Tim is saying is the psyche of people. People are so ready to be done with this that they don't want to go back to this mandate. I don't want to, but I'll do it. In fact, I'm going to wear masks on my own, even if I go to Wegmans or grocery stores anymore. I guess I'm curious to know, though, if people are also, if there's a different emotion. Seth writes to say, it's hard not to be frustrated, even angry. I've been vaccinated for months now. I know people who won't do it, and I feel like we've been so close to turning this corner, and now back we go. So Seth's saying he's at the point where he's getting angry. I mean, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, what we do about this, with Tom Nichols, who thinks we need to go full-on shaming. I'm not sure I'm there, but Tom made the case for it for the Atlantic Monthly recently, and we're going to talk to him about that tomorrow. But John, are you angry? I mean, like, do you get angry about this?
Yeah, it's very frustrating and very, you know, yes, I wear a mask. Do I want to? No.
Yeah, I don't either, but I'll do it.
But we'll do it, you know. And I look at my grandkids. You know, they put that mask on every day and go about, you know, if they can do it, we can do it.
Oh, kids are way better at this than the adults.
Kids are way better
at
this.
It's amazing.
Yes.
But are you at the point where, are you losing sympathy for people?
Yeah, I mean.
Or empathy?
You know, a perfect example, I mentioned cats earlier. Well, when cats comes to town, all my staff from the proscenium back will not only have to be vaccinated, but they're also going to wear a mask, and they may get tested once a week. It's the way it's going to be. And, you know, it's you want to work, that's how it's going to be. And that's, you know, my union crews, my music, everybody, you know, my security people, my door person, the cleaners, everybody that interacts backstage will be vaccinated, will be tested, and will wear a mask on top of it.
Okay. Eric Fee, how do you feel about, first of all, Tim saying we're not going back to mask mandates, and Seth saying he's to the point where he's losing sympathy, he's getting angry?
Well, of course, I think that a lot of vaccinated people are losing sympathy. That's only really a natural reaction to this. Are we never going to have masks again? I think when people start dropping like flies around you, you might want to consider that that position. But, you know, as you know, Evan, I'm on the Pfizer trial, so I kind of get a lot of scoop from the trial.
Yeah, you're like the person who finds everything out first.
I am. But what I would say is that while they're concerned about the Delta variant, the vaccines are holding up pretty well against it. Mm-hmm. What they're really concerned about is the amount of vaccinated people and the amount of mutations that are happening now and what's going to come next. So while they think they can deal with Delta, there may very well in the near future be a vaccine evasive variant on the maybe even near horizon.
Don't do this.
And what's terrifying about that and what absolutely frustrates me and makes me see red is that then we would have to shut down again. Of course we would have to shut down again. But the politics being what they are, I was just on the phone to Schumer's office today, and it is reasoned that there would be no other future funding for the performing arts to bail us out. So if we shut down again, I think that we are in a world of hurt.
I also don't like the word bailout in this case.
It's not a bailout. It's
a bailout happens when, you know, if you look at the auto industry for years was like Kodak.
Right.
They're like, but who is going to want digital cameras when you have film? You know, and the auto industry was like, who would want more fuel efficient cars? We're going to keep going. And then all of a sudden you're in trouble and we bail you out. The banks with these really clever instruments, credit default swaps, overleveraged. Yes, you've got bailed out. The arts are not getting bailed out. We're deciding as a society that we needed you to be closed to protect people, but we also need you to be open so we can live the lives. This is life. This is culture. We're not going to stop doing that forever.
You're correct.
We can't.
You're absolutely correct.
So it's not a bailout.
It is a bailout in terms of the actual term bailout.
Sure.
That you are sinking
it's
and
drowning.
It's
financial help, yes.
But yeah, I mean,
it's a different thing.
We would absolutely need it, and that is what is terrifying to me, that we have right now, very few vaccine mandates. We have a lot of recommendations, and you may want to consider this. But as we do this kind of rollout very slowly about, you know, maybe the vaccine should be mandated, maybe it should be finally approved, we're just creating these extra variants that are going to probably get us all in trouble.
Let's talk to Delta and just say, that's enough. You're doing well enough. You're doing just fine.
Yeah, well, you don't want to
talk to... You don't need to change.
It's friend Lambda.
I know. We're going to figure out how to live with Delta, of all things. Danny, are you frustrated? Have you lost any empathy or sympathy?
It amazes me that people won't get vaccinated. I have friends who won't get vaccinated. Our conversations are much shorter than they used to be. And I hope that if a mask mandate does come down again, that some of our major employers, Wegmans in particular, leads the way this time. I think having their employees wear masks always, and they don't now, enforcing rules where customers do if need be, I think that'll make a difference. I mean, we cannot keep doing the same thing. It scares me. And again, like I say, there are some people who just, oftentimes it's people who believe that nothing happened on January 6th or those were tourists. And sometimes it's the same sort of thing. There's no making sense of it to me.
Yeah. Let me tell Alex in Pittsburgh, John in Rochester on the phone. Hang there for 1 second. Let me just ask Steve Adelman, who is the guy who essentially wrote the Event Safety Alliance set of recommendations here that have been shared around the country. What would you advise policymakers right now, Steve? Because, you know, if you have the Anthony Fauci's of the world visibly frustrated and the CDC making some changes, and, you know, I do think we're at a point where we do understand better than we did a year ago that their medicine has to cure what I'm not saying the cure, you know, the cure is worse than the disease. But like anything, you can over-medicate. You've got to tailor whatever we're going to do to say, how do we make sure businesses can stay afloat? How do we make sure the arts can stay afloat? How do we still live in a society and, you know, not become sort of hermetic? But I think policymakers are going to try to find the right sort of levers to pull. And if you're in the room with them, Steve, what are you telling them right now?
what I'm telling policymakers is the public who is vaccine hesitant, let's use that non-pejorative term, the public who's vaccine hesitant is not listening to policymakers. So there has to be a different form of leverage, and that leverage generally comes from employers and industry. So I'm a sports and entertainment lawyer. I look to Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell, who is not generally my favorite role model, but who in this instance I think has done something really smart. He has acknowledged that there are two separate groups, the vaccinated who can have certain freedoms and the unvaccinated who simply have not earned those freedoms and therefore have to stay out of the way of the vaccinated people in order to avoid spreading contagion. That's not a political judgment. It's not, you know, being frustrated, although I assume he is, and add my own voice to the level of frustration in this conversation, but it's just a smart way of acknowledging that vaccinated people have earned certain freedoms that unvaccinated people have not. And that's what I would advise public policymakers. Don't try and cajole people. It's not working, and they're not going to listen to you, policymaker. They will, however, follow their pocketbook. If they need their job and their job depends on being vaccinated, most people will do it. They may do it grudgingly, but they still get vaccinated, and that's what's important. And that, more people getting vaccinated, will allow the arts to stay open rather than looking down the barrel of the, you know, the gun of having to lock down again, mm-hmm. which would be terrible.
Let me go to the phones because we've got a number of calls that I think are going to be instructive here. And I'm going to start with Jim in Canisius. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi. I just want to start, I guess, by saying how insulting it is to hear that there are some people in this country that have earned rights and some that have not, because I was, I guess, basically under the impression that we're all United States citizens.
No, hold on a sec, Jim. That, before we even go down that road, you earn the right to go to the restaurant when you put your shoes on and wear a shirt. If you don't wear pants, the restaurant says you have not earned the right to go into the restaurant. So if you acknowledge that, then you acknowledge that, of course, we are all earning different privileges with our behaviors, right?
In a private business setting? Sure.
I mean, pretty
Absolutely,
much anywhere, man.
Public?
Yeah, sure. Public?
No. Public? No, I don't think so. I think we all have a basic set of inalienable rights. I think there's a piece of paper that says that.
I don't think I understand the complaint here, but go ahead. Is there
well,
something I'm missing?
I guess maybe I'm looking for a little education, because the show started off by saying that even talking about us going back into shutdown was a scary and maybe dangerous road to go down for live music and public arts and all that.
Yeah,
and I don't want to see it go away. I don't think anybody on the show wants to see that go away again. However, I guess I just am trying to make the correlation between transmission rate and this vaccine, because we're all getting vaccinated to keep us from getting deathly ill or dying from this vaccine, mm-hmm. and the impact on transmission rate is negligible, is it not?
No. So I actually think that's a really fair and important question from Jim, and I'm glad you raised this, because when Jim is asking, hey, we're vaccinated, why are we worried if we're with unvaccinated people? First of all, the fact that there are variants means that right now COVID is trying to come up with something even better to get past us. It always is. That's what these diseases do. They're really nefarious that way. And so far, the best it's come up with is much, much more transmissible than the original version we were all dealing with a year ago. So that means if you're not vaccinated, you're way more likely to pick it up than you were a year ago. And that's dangerous enough to begin with, because it's just as deadly. If you are vaccinated, here's what, for example, let's take Dr. Fauci. Here's what he said this week. It's still unusual for vaccinated people to have what you call a breakthrough infection, but it is not impossible. And with these variants, it's more and more likely that we get more breakthrough infections, which means if Jeff and I are vaccinated and we go out to a show and we pick up COVID in a breakthrough infection, we're still not likely to be hospitalized. That's the great thing about these vaccines, thank goodness. But we're more likely than we were before to spread it to somebody. Now, I have somebody very close to me who has cancer. Do I want to mess with that? My mother is hospitalized right now for pneumonia. She's vaccinated. But do I want to mess with that? Mm-hmm. I do not. So we still have to view ourselves as potential carriers. And as time goes on, unfortunately, we're more likely to become carriers, even though we're not all that likely if you're vaccinated. It's not zero. You've got to really protect kids. You got to protect people who are immunosuppressed. It is still a concern. This is where Eric Fee is going to jump in and correct anything I've said.
No, you're absolutely right. And but, you know, the caller is correct, too, in the aspect that this Delta variant does increase the chances that as a vaccinated person, you can transmit. Mm-hmm. Now, it's slightly increased, yes. That's the reason we're having this discussion about the third shot. But in the meantime, before we all have a third shot or a fourth shot or Lord knows how many shots, we need to play it safe. And until this vaccine is 100% effective for everyone in the population, which there's never been a totally 100% effective vaccine, but until we can develop that, we've got this issue. And, you know, one thing I would add is that here as an American history major, I just want to add, you know, we do have rights. You're absolutely right. We do have the right to vote. We have the right to assemble. We have the right to free speech. But the right to do things like drive drunk, drive without a seatbelt, commit murder, these are not rights. These are things that society have decided. These are things that we cannot tolerate. And one of those things is transmitting a deathly virus to others. You know, if you don't want to go out and get a tetanus shot, don't get one. You know, you're going to get tetanus. And that's you'll get, you know, the rigors of tetanus. But this is different. This is something where you affect the community. So I think that this is a big difference between a right and a privilege.
Sure. It's why you can't just smoke, chain smoke and blow it in people's faces in an indoor setting. Why we've limited that, because you're not the only one who is affected by this. I'm curious to know, let me ask John and Danny about this. Danny, what do you make of Jim's feeling that, hey, I thought we all had rights from the Constitution that said you couldn't take this away from me?
Well, I own a private business. I mean, it is a place of what's called public accommodation, but like you stated, you have to wear a shirt to come in, you have to have shoes. I don't think it's that outrageous that we have to see proof of vaccination. Jim didn't say whether he was vaccinated or not. I get the sense that he isn't, but I don't follow the logic in that. I guess I don't. I'm not passing judgment. I applaud what Eric is doing at Fringe, and I hope others go that route, but I don't really understand it all. I don't. The hesitancy is, to me, it's just a little too much.
John Parkhurst, what do you think?
Yeah, the hesitancy is too much, and it gets back to the anger. You know, when we bring 2,000, 2,500 people in the auditorium, it's our responsibility for everybody, and we need to make sure everybody has a safe evening. And to do, you know, just to not be responsible for your actions like this just drives me crazy. It just makes me angry. And I understand his rights, but, you know, we got to worry about everybody.
Jeff Spivak?
The problem I have with this is that your caller, you know, conflates rights with, as we've already said,
with privileges.
With privilege, and that we can't be doing this as we watch the society slip from pandemic to endemic, where it's going to be our lifestyle. I applaud what John and Erica and Danny are doing in holding a line against this. We can't, you know, your caller was concerned about the effect this was going to have on the arts in general, attendance, your ability to go out and see a show. Well, what's going to hurt even more is if this endemic spreads to the point that no one's able to see the arts again. I just don't get his point of view that he has a right to walk into a door and do whatever he likes. That just doesn't, as we've already said, apply to anything else. And we have to be on guard against this. And it's just, I just don't know how to argue with that. I don't know how to. If you're so intent on that point of view, it's very obvious we have not been able to change a lot of people's points of view on mm-hmm. this, and our society is going to suffer. Our arts is going to suffer because of that intractability.
Let me ask Steve Adelman if he wants to respond too. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, the term rights is one that's been thrown around a lot. Even under the U.S. Constitution, rights are not absolute. They're all constrained by public policy. So things like yelling fire in a crowded movie theater, we all grew up knowing that that was a limitation on free speech. In privately operated public assembly facilities, such as theaters and sporting events, spaces, there is the no shoes, no shirt, no face covering rule. Those are all limitations on our freedom to act as we wish under all circumstances. So respectfully to the caller, yes, the U.S. Constitution does define certain freedoms in general terms. But when we get into the weeds of what those freedoms mean in a complicated society with lots of different people whose decisions impact each other, it turns out that freedom is not absolute in any situation. Rather, it's always circumscribed by the needs of other people. And so, you know, I get the idea, but the reality is when you make a choice, it has consequences. And even under the United States Constitution, choices do have consequences. And those consequences, in this instance, can prevent you from exercising certain rights that you might otherwise have if you got vaccinated. That is legal reality consistent with our Constitution.
All right. We are flooded with calls now. And so let me briefly ask one more question to Steve, and then we'll just take calls here. Steve, can we mandate masking for performers in the future? Could we see a situation where even performers are told, you've got to mask up?
Yes. That's an unequivocal yes. For all of the same reasons that people who hire back-of-house staff, ticket takers, and security guards, they can be required to wear a face covering. For all the same reasons that audience members can be required to wear a face covering, performers can likewise be required to wear one. Now, again, practical reality quickly intervenes, and it may be more practical to simply require them to be vaccinated and have a negative PCR test or a rapid test on site to confirm that they're non-infectious as of that day. But the answer to your question is an unequivocal yes. That is plain black letter law.
Let me get John in Rochester on the phone next. Go ahead, John.
Hello, Evan. I'm calling because I have a cafe coffee house in the South Woods of Rochester, and I want to say that I truly do not understand what all the issue is about wearing masks. I feel responsible for my staff. I feel responsible for my customers, and I have no issue whatsoever of mandating people walking into my private business with a mask on. And I'm really struggling to understand why people have a problem with putting a simple piece of fabric over their face for the safety of those around them. I was closed for 8 months, and I'm happy to be open, but I don't understand the controversy with wearing a mask.
So let me ask you briefly, John. First of all, what's the coffee house? Can you share?
Sure. Equal Grounds.
Of course. Equal Grounds. It's a great coffee house, and we're glad that you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
John, do you get the sense that if there is a mandate for masking, even for vaccinated people indoors again, as we are seeing in other parts of the country, could be here, that you'll have a backlash, or do you think your clientele will say, we're good with it?
I believe my clientele, the majority of them, will say that they're good with it.
Okay.
And the few that say that they're not, I will accept it. I accept everybody's reasoning for why they don't, and I hope they accept that I will ask them not to come out unless they're masked or vaccinated. And, I feel like it's a reasonable request.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the call. Good luck to you and the whole crew down there. It is a wonderful place, and I'm glad you called. John, are you optimistic that the vast majority of your clientele will say, okay, If we got to do it, we do it?
I think so. You know, people want to come back, and it's a small price to pay.
To see Rochester Broadway Theater.
Yeah. It's a small price to pay, let's be honest.
Okay. Erica, do you think most people will say we're on board? Even if we don't love it, we're on board.
I think so. I think that people are really dying to get out and enjoy the arts again, and I think they'll do what it takes, and they'll probably feel a lot safer.
Well, if you're wondering what the clientele of Abilene would say, let me get Jessica on line 5. Hi, Jessica. Go ahead.
Hi, Evan. I just wanted to say how much I love Abilene, and it's my favorite music venue in Rochester, and I think Danny's doing a great job in protecting his patrons, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Jessica.
I appreciate the phone call. And Danny, do you get the sense at Abilene that your clientele, if you told them, if you are not drinking, you know, if you're not consuming anything, and you're up and moving, you have to be masked no matter what. I don't care if you're vaccinated or not. What are people going to say?
Well, I think they would do it. People have shown they want to come out. They want to enjoy the arts. They want to enjoy music. They want to enjoy the company of others. I think they would follow suit and do that. Right now, there's some safety. We don't require people to wear masks because everyone in the establishment is vaccinated. But if new mandates came down or if it was going to be helpful, we would certainly enact it. And I think our clientele would be on board.
Well, let's see what Alex in Pittsford says. Been waiting. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, thanks for having me on. So, you know, there's a lot to unpack here. You know, with the brief time that we have, I just want to go into the area that I think is probably going to get us, and I call us the group of vaccinated folks, you know, forward. And there seemed to have been an initial response to this from a business standpoint to gather a roster of employees, or customers for that matter, who were vaccinated and allow that group of individuals to participate without a mask. And for whatever reason, whether vaccination rates were so high, there would seem to be a changing, you know, attitude that now, while it doesn't really matter if we ask that question and develop that roster because we're going to have such a high vaccination or, you know, a high vaccination rate or ability that we're eventually going to hit, you know, herd immunity, and we won't need to ask these questions anymore. And I initially remember thinking we still need to ask these questions. They are important. We need to know who's vaccinated and who's not. And for now we're in this weird phase where we're going back and forth. I mean, just to give you an example, the Buffalo Bills had sent, as a season ticket holder, had sent out an email saying, yeah, you know, you have to provide your Excelsior app or vaccination card upon entry to the game. And then that went away just a couple weeks ago. They switched their position on that. I'm interested to see if large organizations and companies choose to go back to this understanding of who's at their facilities, whether it be employees or customers. And that, I think, is the path forward for those that are vaccinated. And right now, I still believe we're living in a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That is where those are the most susceptible groups of people. The amount of spread from unvaccinated people to vaccinated, from what I've seen, is very, very low. Even though it's there, it's very, very low. And we've seen what restrictions can do to our businesses, our restaurants, whether it be the arts, food and beverage, anything. And to go back to that simply because we can't get our vaccination rates high enough, I think is really sad as a society that we're there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I hear that, but you want to go into more of a verified policy, like what Eric
said. Yeah. That was the initial attitude. I think from an employer standpoint, I have a company that, you know, has about 140 employees, and that was the initial response. However, it quickly shifted into this, you know, we can't ask that. And last I checked, and I could be wrong about this, I heard different things. Vaccination status is not covered under HIPAA for non-healthcare facilities. Now maybe I'm wrong about that, but there seemed to have been a changing dynamic asking that question.
Let me ask Steve Edelman if you know. Steve?
I absolutely know. There is zero doubt about it. HIPAA does not apply to non-healthcare facilities. Period. End of conversation.
People are going to say it does, though. I mean, we've already heard that a lot. Yeah.
HIPAA is a federal regulation. We can all look it up. It's not beach reading. It's actually very difficult to read. But the answer is unequivocally, HIPAA does not apply to non-healthcare facilities or non-healthcare providers.
You're telling me Marjorie Taylor Greene was wrong?
Not for first. The last time, I suspect.
Okay, so she was wrong. Okay, so you can't do the HIPAA thing. Real briefly here, Eric Fee, any concern in your mind as you get closer to the fringe that you're going to have to really readapt the schedule, or you still think you're on as you plan right now?
We're concerned, but we are confident in the advice that we're getting. I mean, look, as John was saying before the broadcast, we've all had to learn to pivot. And, you know, we will do the best that we can with the information that we're given. But we do think that requiring vaccines is really the safest way forward.
That's why Erica said you got to get Steve Edelman on the show. That's why we did that. See, John Parkhurst, are you pretty comfortable that the schedule will remain where it's at?
Yes, we're going to do everything we can. You know, we're following industry standards and, you know, county health, everything. But we're moving forward one way. Straightforward.
Okay. And at Abilene, Danny Deutsch, any concern of changing course?
Well, if need be, we will. I know at this point we're going to keep doing what we're doing. The policy's staying in effect. We have music booked into early next year. So I encourage people to come down.
Steve, 20 seconds. What would you tell venue operators about trying to make plans into the future?
Be glad that you're in the greater Rochester area. It's a big country. Things are better where you are than in other parts of the U.S.
Jeff, you say that a lot, right? Aren't you glad to be here?
You know, I truly am. And I feel very fortunate to live in this community.
I am. I say that absolutely. No snark whatsoever. And now, more than ever. Hey, Jeff Spivak from WXXI News and City Magazine. Great work on this. Thanks for sparking this conversation.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're going to be talking about a lot of these related issues, mandates, and a lot more tomorrow and in days to come. So keep sharing your thoughts. John Parkhurst from the Rochester Broadway Theater League, good luck to you guys. Thanks for being with us. Erica Fee, the KeyBank Rochester Fringe Festival. It's coming back.
It is.
Okay.
We're gearing up.
Okay. Thanks for being with us. And our thanks to Danny Deutsch. See you at Abilene. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Evan.
Steve Edelman from the Event Safety Alliance. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
From the whole Connections crew, we'll back with you tomorrow.